Hey, this is Mickey from Aldo Rocks. You're listening to BBS Radio,
the number one internet radio network on the planet.
That's bbsradio.com.
In the light of the most radiant one. I am Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Oh, I am so filled with joy tonight as I greet all of you. And I can only be filled with joy because I'm looking at the big picture, the cosmic picture, the picture of what goes on eternally beyond the, let's say, scenarios that play out in time and space and dimensionality. So this evening, you bearers of light, you anointed ones, you Christs, those of you who are emissaries from the far-flung vistas of this beautiful universe who have come to Earth on Earth assignment to bring to Earth the joy and the good news of the imperishable star worlds, the worlds that have never been touched by the fall or death or disease or aging, those realms of divine glory that remain constant and eternal in an open-ended universe that is enfolding from glory to glory, revelation to revelation. This show is for you. And I come as a cosmic, cheerleader, one who is standing and cheering you on and giving you the news of a higher, let's say, perspective that will enable you to walk with joy, empowerment, and great purpose in this earth life. Tonight I'd like to talk about joy. What is it? How do we maintain it? How do we lose it? And where does it come from? First of all, I have never known a truly joyous human being. Why is that? Because we're not designed to be human beings. We are immortal spirits made in the image and likeness of God, and we're having a temporary field trip on planet Earth. We're dressed in an Earth suit. It's called a third-dimensional, carbon-based human body. Ah, but we have a new task this time. The task is to shift the carbon-based molecule so that it will resonate in the frequency of light that is non-corruptible and will never die. That process we call the ascension, we call it the resurrection, we call it the transfiguration, we call it the Christing and moving into the Christ over-self or over-soul, or manifesting Christed consciousness, or self-realization, or God-realization. Only right now, we're on the fast track. This is occurring very, very rapidly now. It's not a long linear cycle that we're looking at. In fact, many believe that we could be shifted by a shifting of the gravitational flux lines within the grid system any time now. This is because the entities with agenda to confine and to keep the human kingdom, the human species bound under the carbon-based law of material densification that we call the third dimension, or the 666, which is really the carbon-based molecule. Those particular beings would like to keep us on the Earth and would like to have dominion and control here. They sort of like their arena. But God has a different agenda, and therefore, their plan to destroy through atomic power will not be permitted. Those of you who are worrying about that, you can get over your worries. I'll tell you why in a few moments. The Seraphim Brotherhood, for one thing, has stepped down a plan to place force fields around all biological entities that are part of that lifting process. The lifting involves resonating in love. If you are resonating goodwill, the will to good, and love, you qualify. You are the marked. You are the elect of the latter days. That marking is an encodement that you wear in your subtle bodies that's quite visible to all of the forces of light. We hear a great deal about dark forces and demonic forces, but what has to be taught as a balance of that is for as many evildoers as there are in the galaxy, in the cosmos, there are even more doers of splendid acts, of divine acts, agents of grace, agents of divine intercession, agents of divine Well, artists of transformative endeavor, let's call them that, because they can come in and work with us as a species and bring us supernaturally through laws that transcend the lower physics into the higher divine programs, and they can do it out of time and space such as we know it. Now is the time when we're going to have to allow a lot more wiggle room for divine, wondrous, miraculous events. This is the time when the Spirit of the Living God is being poured, literally poured out like rain upon all flesh. Everyone that has their open heart, which is like a chalice, open to the higher forces, will be filled and will be used. It is said that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the land, seeking out those whose hearts are right towards Him. So is your heart right towards your Creator, towards your fellow creations, the men and women, boys and girls that share your everyday life? Are you a person of goodwill and will to good? If so, then you are being filled with supernatural potential now. You are being quickened and stirred up in your gifts, and you will be used mightily as miracle workers, as those that walk out and demonstrate what it is to be a Christ, that is to say, an anointed one, a way shower, a bearer of light in these days. When Jesus ascended and returned to sit at the right hand of the Father, and where would that be? The right hand of the Father means the administrative division of the hierarchy. It is located in Shambhala. Shambhala is the throne world of God as it is represented and anchored throughout the cosmos, but on Earth it is located in a location approximately 17,500 feet in the Himalayas in etheric physical matter. So, in truth, Jesus, Yeshua, never left the earth. He is in Adam Kadmon, which means a transfigured, immortalized, perfected light body that can manifest in any dimension, any number of dimensions, any number of planes, anywhere, anytime. So he's not limited. But when he said, "Lo, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will be with you even unto the end of the age," he meant it literally. So he sits in the administrative department and division as the administrator, overseer of this entire hierarchical program, which includes for our Earth 36 masters. Some of these masters have their origins in Venus, some in Mars, some from Jupiter, some from Mercury, and some from Earth, because during the cycles of unfoldment, many have attained to mastership and now sit in Shambhala. Now, you at your seventh level of manifestation, your monadic principle, you are always present in Shambhala too. So you might want to, in one of your meditations, move your awareness to where you sit in Shambhala and take your position there. Isn't it curious that we think we're this enchilada sitting here that has bad hair days and running mascara and moods and ups and downs and hangnails and all the other things that go with the human body? And we also sit with Jesus on the right hand of administration, because the scriptures tell us that we are a peculiar people, that we are a royal priesthood, and that we are kings, that we are to sit and co-administer with Christ Jesus. We are to even assess the ascendability of beings who will parade before us at some point, including the angelic realms, to see if they qualify to move into the omniverses that are opening up into new programs of unfoldment. Let's expand our understanding a little bit of what it is that we're doing. Let us get real. We have for too long, the thought of God is sitting up somewhere in a cloud, of there being devils with pitchforks, angels with halos, spacemen and spaceships that go bump and jump and abduct and all of that. Let's get real. The universe is teeming, and I mean teeming with life. There is no place at any dimensional wavelength of frequency and resonance that you will not find a life form. In the lower worlds, as I have described, beneath soul, soul being the fifth dimension or fifth plane, called the realm of truth or Satchkhand, that realm is positive, and everything above that realm is not subject to death and disease and decline and duality. It's the unified field of the One. Now, beneath the soul, you have duality and polarity, the evildoers and the light bearers, and you have continual, let's say, conflict between those two energies, which is not a bad thing. It's good in the sense that, like rubbing two sticks together, it produces the fire of that which is the transformative, transfigurative process. So we bless the duality in these lower worlds. We definitely need it. We know things by their opposites here. So if you don't have the opposite of joy, how are you going to appreciate joy? But, you know, we all experience the opposite of joy, don't we? When does that come in? When we forget who we are and what we are designed to be and to do. In my many, many travels throughout the world and sitting with some of the greatest masters and sages and saints on the planet of many religious traditions, I have discovered one feature that characterizes them all. They are childlike. Well, I'm going to tell you more than one. They are childlike. They have a great sense of humor, but they have this tremendous sense of joy. Now, when I speak of joy, I'm not speaking about euphoria, ebullience, noisy jumping up and down and all that sort of thing. That could be more hysteria or an unbalanced astral body. When I speak of joy, I'm speaking of that certainty that you know who you are, you know where you've come from, you know why you're here, you know your purpose, and no matter what happens on the surface waves of the ocean of your life, deep, deep down in the depths, there's this quiet smile that pervades your inner self with a sense of warmth. It is that gentle, quiet sense of knowingness that we would call joy. Sai Baba, the great avatar that I like to speak of because I've made so many trips to sit in his presence and to learn from him, he's probably the greatest embodiment of the divine that we have had on our earth since the Lord Jesus Christ walked upon the earth. And Sai Baba has said that he is the Father who sent Jesus. And I asked Jesus one day when we were in deep communion, is that true? And he replied, yes, he embodies the Father principle. You see, we have to learn to recognize the principle that is infusing the form and quit confusing and limiting that principle to one form. People did not recognize the Messiah, Yeshua of Nazareth, Jesus, when he came, because they were expecting something else. Likewise, Jesus could appear today, dressed in his present body, which I understand is 6'2", dark, supposedly wearing a Lebanese body. This is going to shock the socks off of many of you out there, but just take it on and dance with it a little bit. What if? I saw a photograph of him. He is supposed to be known by many people in the Middle East, whom he has as direct disciples. He's supposed to be living outside of Rome and has been living there since 1980 or so. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? I just got through saying he's sitting in the administrative seat at the right hand of the Father in Shambhala. Well, what if he's as multidimensional as we are, hello, and can operate any place, any time, like the 500,000-pound gorilla King Kong. He can be anywhere he wants and do anything he wants. After all, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the head of the spiritual hierarchy of this planet. So, having said that, how can it be that we don't know that? Well, the reason we don't know that is because, by and large, we have confined truth to our God boxes, and we have not wanted to expand and include, and we have lacked spiritual and intellectual courage. What we need to do is not think that we can imagine we understand God. If we don't even understand who we are, how could we possibly understand God? As Sai Baba has said, it is like an ant trying to appreciate the Himalayas, trying to understand and grasp their magnitude. At best, we can enjoy them. We can say they're beautiful. I just got back from the Himalayas a few months back, and yes, they are awe-inspiring. Do I understand them? No. Can I tell you their history? No. But I looked at them and I thought, oh my goodness, hidden within these vast crevasses are the masters of the Great White Brotherhood. Is Shambhala, is Agam Des, is Katsupari, and many of the other spiritual cities. Oh my heavens, right now, extraterrestrials are landing in Agam Das and preparing for their missions to emerge out into the outer world like Omnic Onik did from Venus. Like many of us have. Where do you think we came when we landed on this planet? Well, some of us came into the vortex at Mesa Verde in Colorado. Some of us came, like Omnic Onik, into Agam Des, the spiritual city in the Himalayas. Some of us perhaps came in through Telos or some of the other places that we have where we can step down into this dimension. But there is a sort of rehabilitation that has to take place in order for us to walk on this earth. For one thing, my goodness, human beings are a joyless lot. They are so dead serious that they're walking dead in many cases. There's no sparkle in the eye. There's no spring in the step. They sit and watch their boxes of bad news all night. They drink their beer, which makes their brain foggy and benumbed. So they don't have to think about anything else. I'm here to spread the message as loudly as I can that you are sons and daughters, emanations and incarnations of the living God. You are the visual image of God, even as your elder brother, Jesus the Christ, was. That was his job assignment, to give you a visual image of the Father. He said, "When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." What was he speaking of? He was speaking of the principle of truth. The Father is truth. The Father has many representations, but the head of Shambhala is the Kumara, Sanat Kumara. He is also called Yeti Komin, in Aramaic, the Ancient of Days. He's called Abba. He's called the Youth of Many Summers. There are many names for him. And sometimes that anthropomorphic image that you get of the man sitting on the throne with a long white beard. When I've been to the Council of Shambhala, I saw the 24 elders, and they all looked like that. You couldn't tell them apart. They all had long white hair and long white beards and long white gowns. So I can see where you get that image. As far as the Father is concerned, you cannot even gaze upon him. The light is so brilliant, it blinds you. And so I can only say I have seen the light of the Father and a wisp of face. And I have heard the sound that surrounds the throne of God. And I trembled, for it blew through me like so many trumpets trumpeting at the same time, blasting, or whales, so many whales sounding so that your very bones rattled. This administrative council of 36 masters is in process of externalizing out into the physical world. For 95,000 years, they have worked behind the scenes since the beginning of the fall of Atlantis. And for the first time in these in this era, they are externalizing. Many of you are their disciples or their initiates or are masters or are in process of going through your mastership final exams and initiations. You all have a connection to Shambhala, to the High Council Chamber of Shambhala, to the Christ, to the Lord Maitreya, Maitreya Buddha, to the Ancient of Days, the Father principle of truth itself. So if truth is the Father, then surely love is the Mother, and surely wisdom and power would be the Holy Spirit. And so one of the qualities of the Holy Spirit is joy. In fact, you can know a true emissary of light by their joy. When you have given your heart and your life completely and fully, with no reservation, to the Lord, and you have said, use me, fill me, take me as high as I can possibly go in this embodiment, help me to manifest every gift that you have purposed for me before you formed me in my mother's womb, I ask you, Lord, reveal to me the secrets of your heart. Help me to have such a fine-tuned attunement to you that I can flow in your grace, transcend the laws of limitation, and when people see me, they will glorify you and know that God is. When you have come to that point, you will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That power of the Holy Spirit has 9 manifestations. They are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. This is the very proof that you have been filled by the Spirit of the Living God, that, moreover, you have been born again of the Spirit, that your lights have been turned on, that you have been reconnected consciously by your own free will and your own free choice to serve God. This choice must be made in every lifetime, in every cycle of your life. In fact, every day you choose who you are going to stand with and who you are going to serve. And by your fruits, the manifestations and results of your life, people can tell whether or not you are a child of God. As you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you transcend the karmic law. There is no law that can place a charge against you when you are walking in the 9 fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace, Sai Baba has said, are the indicators that let you know that the spiritual path that you are on, the spiritual sadhana that you are doing, is effective. That a true devotee of the Lord, a true yogi, is known by just these very qualities of joy and peace. The Course of Miracles has said that whenever we are not completely joyous, it is because we have acted unlovingly to one of God's creations. So that is why I started with joy, even though it's second in the list. It's because it goes without saying, almost, that God is love. And we are known as people of God by our love. We are not very conspicuous if we don't exemplify these 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit. If we don't have evidence of these fruits in our life, then we show up pretty much like everyone else on the earth, eking out a meager survival, eating and sleeping and drinking and mating and defending, and that's about it. And what difference is that between that life and the life of a dog or an animal or anything else? In fact, in some cases, you can see that the animals observe a higher dharma than man, because at least they're sticking to what they were divinely designed to do. Mankind was designed to be the image of God. Mankind was designed to be holy, to be Christ-like, which is anointed with power, to be transducers of power, wisdom, and love from the higher dimensional realms. They were designed to be the masters, the custodians, and the leaders of all the other kingdoms of nature, including the elemental kingdom, the spirits of earth, wind, fire, and water. Why do you think these elemental spirits run amok? Because nobody's home. It's like leaving children alone to play when mommy and daddy are not home and there's no babysitter. If we were truly stepping down in our divine power and potential, there would be perfect weather, the seasons would come in their right timing, there would be abundant harvest, there would not be drought, there would not be rain, there would not be people starving to death on the planet. All of these things are due to mankind not stepping up to the plate and fulfilling their dharma, the particular divine duty that they have. So anyway, we're in this process now of awakening, and where we will be supernaturally delivered from the convulsions of the earth as it goes through its natural cyclic cleansing, and we will be reset in the heavens in a new version of the earth that is now spiraling into the orbit that was occupied by Venus as the entire solar system and everything in our galaxy takes its next quantum advancement in unfoldment. As we do that, many things that will happen, we will either not experience consciously or we will see it only from afar. But if you are in God, hidden in His presence, under the shelter of His wings, so to speak, as the 91st Psalm speaks, if you stay in that place, the secret place of the Most High, dwelling in the presence, you will only see from afar those things that are coming upon the earth to test and to try to cleanse and to purify this earth so that indeed it can graduate with all of its various levels of life to the appropriate next step. True, we will go to the level of our highest consciousness and embracement, our highest love quotient and radiatory essence. You can't fake it in the spiritual realms until you make it. You have to make it, and you can't fake it to make it. There's got to be fruit on that tree, or the Lord is not going to pick you. You're going to be too green. You're going to have to wait for another cycle of maturation. So to maintain your joy, beloved, first and foremost, you must know that you are living in God and for God, and God must be first in all that you do. Sai Baba has given a simple formula for joy. He takes each letter and describes them this way. J is for Jesus, put Him first. O is for others, put them second. And Y is for you, put yourself last. Do you know that your own little tiny human life and affairs are simply not big enough to wrap your life around and expect it to yield any kind of joy and meaning? I mean, what can you do if your whole focus is on yourself? You can become paranoid. You can become a hypochondriac. You can become so self-serving and so closed into your own little box that you're not even aware of the beauty and the vastness of the greater plan that surrounds you. So you would be like a fish, completely unaware of the ocean and perhaps even the beauty of the depths of the ocean in which it swims. We call that awakening process being born again or quickened in your spirit. It happens most often for people when they've come to the end of being sick and tired and tired of being sick and tired, and they're in the depths of the sewers of their ego's transgressions. But however it comes to you, when you are born again, you know it because you start out with a new life in a new direction with a completely new nature. That new nature undergoes a gradual transformative process from inside out by the Holy Spirit, who moves in, indwells you, and begins to clean up your act. That goes in sequential unfolding until all of those nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are completely manifesting through you. But one of the first things that happens is that you are filled with a joy. I know because I've experienced that myself, and I've seen that in countless others. That joy is supernatural in the sense that it is a divine endowment. It is not something you can create. Oh, you can make yourself happy, but when that thing that made you happy is suddenly wrested from you, you're not so happy. And the happiness, of course, does not go very, very deep. It's only personality deep. It doesn't go into your innermost core. Joy, on the other hand, allows those in prison, those who are being persecuted for their faith, those who have even been martyred for their faith, to be able to go and meet their fate with a smile on their face and the praise of God on their lips. The stories of people who've gone through that are so many. A little bit of research and you will uncover countless stories and testimonies of spirit-filled people. So joy is very important as an indicator of whether or not you're really connected and you're really flowing in grace. One of the things that causes us to lose our joy is when we become a fault finder and we begin to criticize or blame, castigate, or point out the bad things and the errors in ourselves and in others. It's one thing to recognize you have an area to work in and an area that you need to allow the Holy Spirit to put his finger on and to deal with. And it's another thing to be constantly criticizing and bad-mouthing yourself or another. Remember, the Lord said that whatever you do to the very least of these, you have done to him. Remind yourself that there's only one person existing in all of these coats of skin. These bodies that go around the world are like light bulbs that have one current that gives them light. Oh, sure, there are some low wattage bulbs out there that are a little dim, and there are some mega wattage bulbs like Sai Baba out there, and lots in between. But all of them have the same current illuminating their bulbs. And you can always amp up the wattage. You know, that's what this recycling process of re-embodiment is for, to gradually upgrade until we can contain the incredible power of the divine current that we call unconditional love and joy and all of the other fruit and manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So the first thing to do when you feel your joy slip is to begin to reflect back on your attitude, how you're seeing yourself and others, and then reconnect to your first love, your first priority. And that has got to be the Lord and time with the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, it's only because you haven't made yourself available and you haven't given him time to be with you. I do not think that we can go through the times ahead without prioritizing a very powerful daily practice in which we spend time and have communication and communion with the Lord, however you do that. And it's very, very, very vital for your survival. It's vital for your transfigurative process, because if you don't do that, your vibrations are not high enough for the command to be able to see you and locate you. You are recognized from our fleets by your light. We know you by your energy signature of love. Now, those of you who are descended commanders, bear in mind that you are not here on earth for yourself and your own little agenda. You stood before Archangel Michael and Lord Sananda in the high heavens, and you made a pledge to come to earth to do everything in your power to bring the light and the love, the joy, the comfort, the vision, the wisdom, and the divine architecture that would enable a golden age to manifest upon earth. That's the job assignment. Whoever you incarnated with, the people in your immediate environment, they're all part of your unfoldment, and your decodement and your lessons. Some of you that were born orphans or lost your parents, or for one reason or another were placed with others for your upbringing, that was also part of the plan. Those of you who have been born in countries where there's been great suppression, you may be the only commander within miles and miles and miles, those of you in lands where you're not allowed to even carry a Bible or even perhaps say the name of the Lord. You are the silent ministers and agents of light. They can control your body. They can try to control your mind. But, beloved, they can never touch your spirit. And even if you find yourself in a position of giving up your body in martyrdom in some form because of your faith or because you were in a place where that just happened, know that you stepped out of the body into another room. Know there will not be 72 virgins waiting for you. I'm afraid that was not ever in any scripture. But you will find that there is no death, that you will be in a place that your belief system has enabled you to coalesce around you as a reality. Whether it is heaven or hell depends a great deal on what your beliefs are and your behavior has been, because you will call yourself to task if you have lived like a hellion all your life, and you will have to face that particular momentum that you have set in motion. For most people, it is simply walking into another room, a room very much like the one you just were sitting in the physical. There's not a great deal of a shift. For those who have loved the Lord Jesus, you are instantly face to face with Him, as the scriptures say. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so that is the best position to put yourself in. Be a friend of the Lord. Get to know Him. Invite Him into your life, your heart, your mind, into every part of your daily endeavor and your nightly journaling. And then, beloved, you will always be in the right place, in the right alignment. Why? Because He, above all, has represented the love of the Father, the face of the Father, the will of the Father, and the directives and teachings of the Father. And remember, the Father principle, is truth. So, as we look at the administrators of our planetary hierarchy, under Sanat Kumara, or the Ancient of Days, or the Atik Komin, this is what we call the Father Principle, or the Logos of this planet. He is the head. He is the God figure. And His direct regency right now on Earth is Sai Baba. Sai Baba is the visual regent that represents the Father Principle on Earth today at this time, because the Ancient of Days never steps down His vibration to physical full density. It is said that no one has seen the Father and lived. Well, that is simply because those that see the Father have in their physical, human, fleshly, egocentric lives have died to that. What it means to die in the ego is to allow that old hardened encasement of falsehood and ignorance to be completely obliterated by the light of the truth that you are as a divine being. When that light of your inner spirit shines and transfigures and burns away the dross of the outer casing that we call the ego, the false self, you are literally at that point born into that true essence that is immortal. That is the part that you will carry with you through eternity. That is the part that lives in the higher dimensional planes. That is the part that is the airborne division of the Ashtar Command. We aboard our ships are characterized by such joy, such a sense of absolute, could I call it humble ecstasy? Because we're humbled in the sense that the universe is so vast. We know, we travel through it all the time. We see worlds within worlds within worlds. And we minister to constant, evolving and unfolding planetary life waves within countless Earths or garden planets that are seeded with life that we've helped to seed and foster in this and many, many galaxies. And as we come into the humility of saying, you know what, I'm going to put on an apron like Jesus, I'm going to go down to that planet, and I'm going to wash those dirty feet, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to love and lift and serve even the least of them. And we really, really are happy to sacrifice our life aboard ship in the higher divine worlds, in Shambhala, in wherever it is that we're from, Telos, or wherever we are from. I just said Telos. Maybe some of you don't know Telos. Telos is a subterranean Lemurian community that is under Mount Shasta. I used to live in Mount Shasta, and I was honored to meet some of the brothers and sisters from Telos. But anyway, some of you that I'm speaking to perhaps are Telosian. You have come from Telos, and so you too are members of either the Silver Fleets of Commander Anton, which is a division of the Ashtar Command, or perhaps you're serving within the command at this time. So you see, we have come from many, many places and many points of origin. But then when we get down here with a third-dimensional body that hurts like the Dickens all the time, and a brain that gets so foggy even 10 cups of coffee sometimes doesn't help much, and you have one of those Lazarus moments when you feel like the Lord's going to have to raise you from the dead. I frequently have those mornings lately, and I'm sure many of you do too. Things on the planet right now are making it physically quite difficult for most of us. Most of us are challenged in some way in the physical body and in the rather limited brain apparatus that we're forced to have as we associate ourselves with a third density form. But bear in mind that we are being transfigured. We are being given a upgrading on every level of our being. One of the things that Jesus did was demonstrate that he could completely reconstitute his body. Usually the body is, reconstituted from all levels every 7 years. But Jesus was able to actually completely rebuild his cellular chemical functions into a Christ body of light over 3.5 days instead of the 7 years that it normally takes to replace the bodily cells. And he set that as a new template because he was showing that we are going to be operating out of the usual cycles that we are familiar with in this transfigurative ascension process. It is a divine work. All you have to do is be in the right attitude, the right framework of mind, and the right orientation towards the Lord, and the rest is done. What does it say in the scriptures? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all else will be added unto you. That is literal and true. So as you attend to the kingdom affairs of walking as an heir of the kingdom, and making God's business your priority, which is to love and serve all life, then all else is added unto you. Your finances are assured. You will always have what you need to be, to survive here. You might not live like Donald Trump, but you'll have what you need. And maybe some of you will live like Donald Trump, but that's your mission. So don't worry about it. Just be grateful for what you do have, because gratitude is one of the best ways to maintain that quality of joy. So when you're feeling grumpy, make a decided choice to raise your hands in the air and say, Lord, I praise you, I celebrate you, I thank you for this privilege and honor of being on earth, of having the light that I have, the wisdom that I have, the knowledge and the love, and I surrender all attitudes that are not the most joyous to you. Please refashion me in your image. Please clear me of all negative momentums that no longer serve me. Help me to see this world and other people through your eyes. Now, another thing I want to tell you that's going to cheer you, I've just told you a little while earlier that the Seraphim Brotherhood has placed force fields of light around you to protect you against any kind of atomic dissolution. Now, Sai Baba has said that one of the reasons he incarnated on Earth was to prevent any possibility of us having a nuclear holocaust. It will not happen. I was just with Baba for five and a half months a few months back, and again he reiterated there will be no war between Pakistan and India, between North Korea and America. And then, unfortunately, I forgot the rest of them, but he went down the list, and I'm pretty sure just about every place where we're afraid war is going to crop out, he probably named it, although, unfortunately, I didn't, I don't know where I wrote down in my notes. Anyway, I don't have them for tonight's show. And just know that he has come specifically for that purpose. And I, for one, believe with all my heart that the powerful ceremony, the Rudra Yajna, that can only be done by a divine incarnation that he did when I was present in August, that that has alleviated the crisis that has come upon humanity. I know that it has. I know in my heart, I was told, and my co-commander Solario was told, that the door in the cosmos where evil dwells had been closed and sealed. That is huge. Now it is up for each one of us to seal the door where evil dwells in our own hearts. The only one really that can do that is the Spirit of the Living God, the Holy Spirit. But we have to be willing. We have to say with our mouth, you know what? I want to be an embodiment of divine love. Hatred, bitterness, rancor, all of that is no longer an option. Root it out of me, Lord. Take it out of me and make me an instrument of your love and an instrument of your peace. That St. Francis prayer, by the way, is probably one of the best ways we could describe that, so that we can indeed bring healing where there is hatred and love where there's hatred and peace where there's discord. Let us so exemplify these divine qualities that people will see our life and glorify our Creator. As you go into the cycle ahead, you are going to see supernatural events occur. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Do not look down. Do not take your eyes off the Lord. If you keep your eyes on the Lord, you will be kept in perfect peace. How do you do that? Whatever mechanism that allows you to stay focused upon the truth, use it. You can make your own little personal sanity kit, let's call it. Your bag of workable tools that when you are depressed, you do this. When you're fearful, you do this. When you need a boost in your joy, you do this. Begin to research yourself and find out ways to circumvent the negativity that crops up in the false self, in the ego self. Begin to find ways to work with yourself so that you always direct your mind and your emotions and your body into life enhancement, into the paths of peace and joy and upliftment. Begin to exercise that gift of the Holy Spirit of self-control and self-direction, and begin to take authority over your life and allow the Lord to be the pilot that takes over the position of guiding your spaceship through life. This is the time now when we have to be over ourselves enough that we can be available 24/7 for the use of the forces of light. Most of us, if we are identified with the human instrument, is because we have been conditioned and brainwashed through our schooling systems or other forms of indoctrination, and we've simply lost sight of what is real and true and enduring. So I will be speaking each week somewhat about our eternal natures, because this is what is so fundamentally important if we are going to walk the earth as Christed beings, as masters, as ascended masters who have consciously made a decision to descend to the earth, adopt a human form, and be part of the solution rather than the problem. You will find your own companions amongst our ranks. Those of us who are part of the Ashtar Command, you will learn to recognize our vibration. Why do I say Ashtar Command and not include others? Oh, just fill in the blank with whatever you want to call it. because I'm called Ashtar Athena. I'm sort of ubiquitous in terms of the Ashtar command, but that doesn't mean that we're any more important than any other command, any other group, any other conglomerate of light workers. Let's just use it as a cover for all of it, just like we use the cover for God, and then you decide what you want to call the Beloved. You decide how you want him to appear to you, because it is your love and your devotion that causes the Lord to manifest in a manner in which you will most appreciate his presence and his love. I do hope that as we have our talks, our classes, our seminars, our transmissions each week, and they are a little bit of all of that, that you will begin to make it a habit to think of yourself as a divine incarnation here on a heavenly mission, that you will begin to know yourself as an ambassador on earth assignment. You will begin to live a conscious, purpose-driven, purpose-filled life. That joy will be your constant choice as you learn to allow everybody to just be themselves without critiquing. As you learn to stay out of people's business when it's none of your affairs. As you allow your own natural prerogative to anoint you and appoint you in a direction where you're truly anointed and gifted to serve. Don't try to be a Johnny, somebody that, jack of all trades, that's what I'm trying to say. Don't try to be a jack of all trades. Find the particular area where you shine and glow and let that be what you do. If you try to mix yourself into other people's truths or agendas or lifestyles or momentums, you will become confused and you will lose your joy. You are joyous when you are doing what you were designed to do, when you are manifesting the gifts that you were created by God to manifest, when you're being true to yourself, when you're minding your own business, when you are attentive to the voice and the presence and the direction of the living God who dwells within you as his own temple, when you are making that your priority and you are listening to that inner directive, you don't have time really to pay much attention to what other people are doing. You don't have time to waste in slandering and gossiping and bearing tales and talking ill of others. You will be too busy speaking to your heart and the Lord who dwells within that heart to bother yourself with bad news. You will be so filled with joy that people will want to know what it is that you're doing that has put you in that state. I've had people come up and ask me, what is it? Why do you glow? Why are you always happy? And I told them, I said, have you ever heard of the Holy Spirit? And many times they would say no. And I would say, well, it is the Spirit of the living God who will come and dwell within you and fill you with divine power if you're willing to give your life completely, lock, stock, and barrel, over to the Lord. And, of course, some choose to do that, and some maybe will choose to do that later. But I believe that ultimately everyone will make that choice. Why? Because we're all embodiments of God. And God ultimately can't be lost, and ultimately every part of God will eventually find its way back into that unified oneness of our creative whole. So again, we've spent an hour that goes so quickly for me. It must for you as well. I know it brings great energy and great love and light when we talk of eternal things. Because when you speak of things that are not of truth, the energy drops. Did you know that's why a lie detector works? It's because whenever you lie, you weaken yourself. Whenever you speak truth, you strengthen yourself. You can try applied kinesiology, muscle testing, and test that out for yourself. The lie is never supported. The truth is its own bearing of witness, and its own testimony, and its own validation, and its own protection. So you are embodiments of the Father principle in your monad, in your spirit self. You are truth. You are embodiments of the Son of God in your aspect as consciousness. And you are an embodiment of the Holy Spirit in your aspect of bliss or joy. You are thought Chitananda in Sanskrit, truth, awareness, and joy. Beloved, that's who you are, and nothing that you do in time and space can rob you of your divine heritage and inheritance. Only you can delay. That's about the worst you can do, is delay your complete fulfillment in joy. We of the Ashtar Command are here on earth, walking in you and through you and as you and with you. Some of us have stepped off the ships and are walking in your midst. Some of us, like myself, have come back in time from the future to wrap myself around a past persona, a soul aspect of my monad. Some of us have come in as walk-ins. There are so very many ways. Some of us have come in as crawl-ins. That's where a child would normally not want to continue their incarnation, and all of a sudden they come and allow another to replace them. There's so many ways we come in to serve our Earth missions. But if you're here, praise the Lord with great gratitude that you are here. It's a great honor, and only the strongest and the best were allowed to come into the birth process at this time. You may contact me by emailing Commander, CMDR, Lady Athena, at AOL.com, or clicking on my show that will take you to my webpage. I do personal life decodement activations, if that would be of service to you. And anyway, you don't need that if you don't feel it in your spirit. And if you do, you can contact me. Otherwise, just think of us and know that whenever you think of us, you are with us and we are with you. Raise your hands now and send the blessings of light to every man, woman, and child on this planet. We bless our Jewish brethren as they celebrate Rosh Hashanah, and our Islamic brethren as they enter into Ramadan. And we bless the sons and daughters of mankind as they enter into the seventh golden age and the time in which we will be shifting into immortal bodies of light and ascend with the earth into the fifth world. I'm Commander Lady Athena, the twin flame of Lord Ashtar, here on Earth assignment. I am the voice of the Ashtar Command, and so are you. And so are you on Earth assignment from the Ashtar Command. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord, and blessed is everyone and everyone's name, because you are also embodiments of the Lord, and wherever you place your feet is holy ground. Claim it for the kingdom, and walk as kingdom ambassadors. Tonight our chant will be Yesh Hu Ha, the Jewish pronunciation for Jesus. Take a deep breath. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Come and join and send your love to this beautiful earth. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes. Yes, you are.
do 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 do